session number 28688, rule 2.
Okay, part 4. We were discussing the training, and you were mentioning the normal day of being like drill, physical training, group marches, arms drill. Okay. Did you ever get any boxing?
No. There was boxing, but I never did any boxing. But there was that type of sport around. I mean, we played rugby, and we played games. But it wasn't. It was like twice a week, maybe, and then the weekends, of course, we did our own thing.
Okay. And you've also mentioned the rifle quite a lot. Did you have a bayonet for it?
Yeah. We had bayonets, and of course we did bayonet drill as well, which we ran forward, shouting and sticking it in the door, pulling the door again and running on. And then we did a lot of things like assault courses, where you crawled through underneath barbed wire and you climbed up walls and you swung across a ditch on a rope, which was often quite funny because you didn't catch a fast swing, you swung back and went lower and lower till you'd fall in and come out of the thing on your feet wet. But it was just more or less keeping you fit the whole time. And as I said to you, I remember when I was at Fort George, I never felt as fit as I did at that point there.
And at what point did they send you up to Fort George?
I think we did about 6 weeks of Bridgerton, and then we did the rest of the time up there, which would have been about 3 or 4 months up there. And then we were posted to Malaya. I think I would have been about 18 months in Malaya.
And the time in Aberdeen and the time up at Fort George, was this all still your basic training?
The Aberdeen definitely was. I mean, we were able to march about and fire a rifle before we went to Fort George. In fact, when I went to Fort George, I was put on to driving. So I was doing less of the teamwork stuff after I was put onto a truck up there. And I would have been, they would have just used the vehicle for picking up stuff. I mean, I went to Inverness a lot. I took the pipe band up to Dingwall, went to Elgin to pick up general stores. So that I wasn't so involved in the basic training bit then. I was now a driver, as it were.
And do you remember how long your basic training lasted?
Well, we had 6 weeks at the Bridge of Dawn, and then we went up to Fort George, and we must have left. We would have been 6 weeks, February, it'd been a little bit near the end of March when we went up there, and it would have been April, May, June. I think about July we were shipped out. Because I remember coming home, I used to come home at a weekend if I wasn't on duty. And I remember going back saying, I'll probably see you next weekend. And the next weekend, I think, was on an airplane somewhere in India. It was all happened very quickly. We didn't know. And I mean, like, to get your kit back, we're going to the station in Inverness. And we then got onto the train there, and we arrived at this, but dark when we got to this place, and we discovered it was Blackbush Airport. And we then had to hand all this kit that we'd got prior to going there, back in again, and go to shit with new stuff down there, and then we were taken to airplanes rather than to boats to be moved out.
But within your basic training, were you allowed out at the weekend?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big deal getting home at the weekend or anything?
No, but there was a bus, you see. I could get a bus to Verulia, I think it must have been. We got off. We had time off, and then most evenings it was time off, unless we were doing manoeuvres or something like that, which meant we were out all night. Some of our basic training. I remember we were against the RAF, not the air crews guy, but the RAF police, as it were. And I remember having a mortar, which was a pipe with a plug in the bottom, and you lit a thunder flash, put it in, and put another one on the top of it, and it fired the thunder flash out. It was supposed to be a mortar, and it was very wet and rainy, and we had to cross the Fenhorn, wade across. And I told you about that chap Black that came from the village of here with. We were together, you see. And we both smoked at that time. And the big thing was keep your rifle dry at all counts. May it save your life someday, you must keep it dry. Well, we were only supposed to be out for something like 24 hours, but they decided it was such fun for everybody, and then there's a bracket, we would stay out another 12 hours. So, of course, we ran out of fags, and we were crossing the 1000, and Willie Black was in front of me. His rifle was half out of sight in the water, hung over his shoulder, and he was carrying his last fag up in the air to keep it dry. So, I must say, we didn't take it too seriously really, at the end of the day.
And you
don't
get covers for the
rifles? No, it was summertime, you see, and it was a rather cold. No, the great thing, best thing was to be captured, and then you were put in a local village hall somewhere where it was nice and warm and dry. But I remember I got fed up carrying my pipe and decided I wouldn't, the thing doesn't work anyway. And I remember being put in a charge for losing my mortar, which was a pipe with a plug in the bottom. I can't remember what happened. I must have been at Morris or something.
I was about to say, can you remember what the punishment was?
No, I can't remember. I think I got a bollocking from the sergeant, but that was about it. I think it was just as fed up as we were.
So you mentioned other types of equipment. What about hand grenades?
We were trained on the use of hand grenades. And they were, some guys, you know, got so nervous when they would drop the damn things at their feet, and it was quite alarming that... And we got other things called phosphorus grenades, which were, they were burning things. They were horrible things. I think they should have been banned. They were dreadful things. You know, the stuff stuck to you and it burned, and you could stick it underwater and it would go, and it'd burn again, you know. And hand grenades, we got trained on how to throw them and how to get down. And very importantly, they showed us how damn dangerous they were, you know. But that was all part of the thing, throwing grenades.
Do you remember some of the illustrations of, you know, how they managed to show you how dangerous they were?
I think they sort of put us well into cover and then threw one on next to something. So you saw what it did to it, you know, sort of blew the thing to bits as it were. And the effects of shrapnel going through bits of paper and stuff. It was... We didn't need a lot of convention to know that they were not good things to be beside when they went off.
And was this at Gordon Barracks or was this at Black?
Both. It was mostly at Fort George.
Okay. And what about machine guns? Did you get any instructions in them?
Only brain guns. It was a sort of like a triathlon thing. You ran forward, lay down, and fired four rounds, and then you ran and fired another four. And you could see how the target was in front. You're right towards the target, you see, sort of thing.
Okay. What about any anti-tank equipment?
We had none.
No.
There was no tanks in Malaya. Mm-hmm. There was armoured vehicles, but no tanks. Well, I never saw any tanks.
Okay. What about other instruction that you might have received during your basic training? Such as navigation and things like that. Did you get any of that? You know, how to
map reading and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we did a bit of that, but it didn't appear to be a big thing. We got an awful lot of instruction of diseases of the willies, what Billy Connolly would say, and made you actually bulge out with terror, and that we hadn't run about in bare feet because you could pick up all sorts of horrible things and. But that was, as far as health was concerned, the VD thing was a big thing. It was, sort of pushed down our throats. It was how alarming and scary the whole thing was. And the other thing we were told about was, when we got to Malaya, was about taking down your sleeves at night and putting on long trousers instead of shorts because of mosquitoes and things. And in the tropics in the jungle there, the insect noise is very loud. I mean, but it happens everywhere, and it is just insect. You get frogs croaking and all sorts of things. Of course, we were now trained to go up from Singapore. What's that noise? So maybe mosquitoes. You could see them sleep coming. It was, we're pretty rookies, I would say.
Okay. And the men that you were with, you know, in this room, the 18 or 20 men that you were with, was it the intention for all of them to remain in the Gordon Highlanders? They weren't going to be sent somewhere else.
Oh, yes. There was, from that group, there was people who were sent in officer training courses, Wasby things, and some went to the police, the military police. And they suggested I might go to an officer training course. And I didn't want to do that. I know I got bollocked about not taking responsibility and all that sort of thing, but I didn't want responsibility. I was perfectly happy. I was quite keen on the trucks and the machinery side of thing, and the armoured cars and the scout cars and things. I don't know whether it was a subconscious thing. I didn't like walking, but it was. I was happier doing that than coming out and taking patrols out. I didn't really want to do that. I didn't want to be responsible for other people. I didn't want to be responsible for myself. And I know I was sort of chastised a bit for not taking responsibility. But at that time, I didn't want to.
Okay. And did you get any history of the regiment? You know, was it something that they gave you in your basic?
Oh yes, we had the sort of the colours of the regiment, and got some of the stories about our guy and Finatel and these sort of things. But at that time, when you're that age, you kind of felt immortal, that I was going to have to use that sort of thing. And it was interesting in as much as that it gave us a certain pride in our own. Well, then, in our regiment. Yeah, it was good that way, I think. And I'm sure that was what it was intended to do. It was. But I don't remember it sitting and sort of listening to people lecturing to it for a long time. I think it must have been mentioned in a more casual fashion, sort of, which probably made it better. Or we absorbed it better, maybe, that way.
And. You also mentioned about going to Fort George.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they told you you were going to Fort George?
No, it seemed to be we'd finished. I think we probably did know, but we were just suddenly we were all moved from a visit on to Fort George. And it was a much bigger sort of establishment. I mean, the Fort George is I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's a big, big square in the middle, and there was village all around. It's maybe changed now. And you go through a tunnel. It was a fort. I mean, it was a very fortified place. And it's right out in the firth. You could see dolphins from the battlements and jumping about in the firth. And I remember we were marching there. Somebody, I can't remember if he had dirty socks or dirty boots, but we were marched into the sea. I mean, into the water. We kept thinking, he's got to say halt. I mean, if he didn't say halt, he didn't say turn. We kept marching. And then he marched us down about knee deep in water. And this was because this guy had dirty socks on him coming. But I remember we all thought it was not a good idea. You better get your socks clean or we'll be back in there again. And up there, you've got guys that would tend to skive off a bit, you know, sort of over the top and get out and run. And I thought, yeah, we'll be back in here again. And someone sat there. They used to throw in a thunder flash into the trench and nobody seemed to get hot. But certainly you got out of the trench fairly quickly.
And this thing that they threw in, was that
a... Just a thunder flash thing. It's like a great big squib, you know. But they do make a big bang.
And is Fort George a very old building?
Oh, yeah.
Can you describe it to us?
Well, I don't know how old it is, but it's hundreds of years old. It's supposed to be haunted and all that sort of crap. And you had to do you did guards at night. And you had to walk around the thing at night. And I remember there was a chap... He was very nervous. He'd listened to all the ghost stories and he was very nervous. Because some other guys got white sheets and things. And poor chap nearly passed out with fear. it's just where he didn't have live ammunition in his rifle. Like he would have shot him. He did get an awful fright. It was a creepy bloody place. I mean, there was one. We were five in a room there, and there was big corridors ran up the middle and dormitories off the side with five men. In each room, and then wooden floors, big thick wooden planks, and This is the building from there to there. There was a wash place in here, another barrack then down there, and you share the same trough. We had the taps on it, and there was funny noises in the place. I don't know. I mean, it was like somebody was hitting the passage floor with a big hammer. Made big bangs. And I myself have heard it, and I remember saying, "There's that out there." And anyway, this guy was going to open the door. I was 5 years later, and I was 5 years. Oh, wait, sometimes only one guy heard it, and the rest of them were sleeping. But we all heard it this time, and this guy opened the door, and he was beating, sort of pushing about into the corridor. We saw nothing. But it noise made them. Whether it was water pipes or what it was, I don't know what it was. But it was certainly very strange. And I mean, they said that they had found skeletons of bodies built into the wall and they were doing some restoration work or things like that. So, I mean, they're all very fertile minds, and especially up there in the dark and the moon shining and the sea crashing down below, and a white sheet appeared behind them. Here it is. But, anyway, I apart from that noise, I never saw a ghost or anything remotely like it.
Okay. And so, was the accommodation a bit better, that there was only five of you in a room?
Yeah, but it was pretty smart accommodation. I mean, it was, well, as I said, it was summertime, so it wasn't that cold. But I would think the wintertime would have been absolutely like a morgue, I would think. It was a fairly basic place.
Okay, and was it only Gordon Highlanders who were there?
Mostly Gordon Highlanders. And they used to beat retreat sometimes at night, and it was quite a thing when they used to see them, you know, the last portion and the lowering flag and that sort of stuff at night. It was pretty primitive. But as I said, because I was on the transport side of things, I was out of the place a lot. I mean, these guys were in there, or they were running about in a hill somewhere, or marching about in a route march, or firing at in the rain, and they were in there. Whereas I was nailed in, I was in the mess, I was sort of all over the place. And we used to go, when I was up there, I used to go and pick up recruits from off a train, you know. This was raw guys, still in the cities coming in, all full of fun, and they were so good and brave. And they used to swing, and they stood in that three tunners and held on to the door, and they all rocked to one side. You could feel it in the truck. It'd swing the truck. I usually had a second lieutenant with me. And he said, this is getting a bit ropey. I said, well, hold on to your seat. You know, seat belts in those days. And you were just stamping the brake because a whole lot of them crashed up to the back of the truck. So I'd stopped that. God, I hadn't remembered that. I hadn't remembered that until speaking to you just now.
So do you think you had finished your basic training by...
Well, I wasn't sure whether I thought I might be, because you didn't know anything, I thought I might be a permanent job for me up here. And that would have been... I'm not sure if I'd have liked that or not. But anyway, it appeared not to be, because when the rest of the platoon moved, I moved with them. I think I was just nicked out of the platoon because I could drive. Would have been the main reason, I think.
Okay. You mentioned one thing earlier, which I should have picked up on as well, and that was a dress parade. Can you describe to us, please?
Well, we had passing out parade, which was when we finished that block of our training, we would all march it. And we were pretty smart then. And we would have had maybe a special inspection once a week. But the passing out parade was when we finished that bit, and then we moved on for another bit. And of course, our walking out kit was kilts. I wore my kilt. I never wore a kilt really before. Well, I did a wee bit at the summer school, but I mean, it became second nature to me to wear a kilt. I didn't think that I looked different than that. I mean, I had a sister lived in myself, and I had to leave, and I went down to see her, and I had my kilt on then, and I was a sort of, you know, pointing and looking, whereas up there, everybody was nearly, a kilt was nothing, you know what I mean, it was very common to see people in kilts.
Did you wear your kilt a lot of the time?
When we walked out, we wore a kilt.
Was it up to yourself when you wore the kilt, or was there special times that you could wear it, or you had to wear it?
Well, there was a special parade, you wore your kilt, but normally we all walked out in kilts, and I remember coming back with a pipe band from Dornick, I think, or somewhere it was, and we'd stopped in Whitney Levy pub on the road down, and they were in cracking good form, and there was a dance at Ardersea, which was a wee village just out of Fort George, and they all piled off the truck when I went back to the truck, and all the pipes and drums were in the back, so I pulled out the canvas and knotted the security thing. I remember going into the hall and they were doing an ancient reel, and I saw at least five beer bombs as whirling around the thing. And I didn't drink at all in those days. And I could see these guys were in no mood for coming home. And anyway, we only have a couple of 2.5 miles, I think, walk. So I said, you guys, I'm going home. And okay, that was fine. So I thought, I'll just drive the truck with all the drum kits and the pipes straight into the garage. And there was always somebody who got there anyway. I go straight into the garage. I was coming out of the truck, discovered there was a guy and a girl in the back who had crawled out amongst this stuff. Hadn't been able to get out, so I had driven them back into Fort George. So how they got out, I have no idea there. But normally the guards, you had to check in and check out, you see, but because I was in it a lot, they knew me and I knew them. So, okay, fair game, I'm straight in. But that was one of the funniest. But I remember two or three of us walking to our dance in there, and then we walked back to Fort George. Now that must have been 5 or 6 miles. A long way back, you know.
And the likes of a dance, if it was like a traditional ceilidh, did the army teach you the dancing?
No. I never got any dancing there. But we used to go to dances. We used to go to dances in Inverness. And as I said, we went to a dance in Nairn, and we went to dances now to see you. It was good fun.
And for your kilt as well, was there a special way of looking after it?
You had a special way to wear it, of course. No, I don't think it was any particular. I mean, I had no special kit for we used for stoning it. You rolled it up, you know, like that way. Yeah. And it seemed to keep the shape okay.
Okay, and did you hang it up or something?
Mm-hmm. We had lockers, you see, and we could hang it up. There are two thongs at either side you could hang it up.
But
kept fine if it was rolled up, you know.
Okay. And had you to pay particular attention to the pleats or anything?
Any what?
Any particular attention to the pleats, or by rolling up?
No. You hung it up sort of the pleats for, fit it in there. Like, mm-hmm. But, no, it didn't seem to be, it was no hassle to look after it.
Okay, and was there any special requirement of the kilt? Like, did any of the stripes have to be in a certain position to your body or anything?
No, it buckles at the side, so you put it on that way. No, it was okay. I don't remember any particular problem with that at all.
Okay, you mentioned your passing out parade as well. Where about was your passing?
Well, we had won at the Bridge of Dawn. There, and we finished it there before we went up to the thing. And I can't remember, we had one in Fort George. And we seemed to do an awful lot of parades up there, smartly dressed, if you like, rather than in fatigues, you know what I mean? Sort of like boiler suit type thing, you'd get out of it.
And were you allowed to invite any family along to your passing out parade?
Yeah, you could. Mm-hmm. I think my father and mother and kid did the Aberdeen one. But they were never up at Fort George. But as I said, by that time I could go home on a weekend, you see.
And when you did leave Aberdeen after your passing out parade, did you take your kit with you up to Fort George? So you had
a kit bag, you see, we put everything in there. Up, time up.
Good afternoon. I'm with Mr. Ferguson again at his home. It's our second recording. Good afternoon, Mr. Ferguson.
Good afternoon to you, Ali.
The last time we left off your army time, when you said that you had finished your training and you were told that you were going on a journey and you left from Inverness by train, did you know where you were going?
No, we didn't. We were just told to get ready and whatever. 1400 hours would be taken to station in Inverness. There was a sergeant with us, I think, and we just went where he went. Didn't ask.
And I remember you saying that you were a driver.
I was driving into the port. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Were you surprised by this?
Well, I didn't. I think they were maybe just short of a driver, and they obviously discovered I could drive, and I was doing what you would have called normal duties at the fort. And the rest of my platoon might have been off doing long route marches or something like that. I was just driving this truck. I wasn't sure whether I was going to be at the fort for the whole time or not. But as I said, we just were told to get kept ready and we'd go to the station in the next one, get on the train.
And how many men roughly were there? Was it a platoon?
I think from the fort there was about 8 or 9 of us, I think.
Being sent to...
Mm-hmm. Well, got on the train. And then when we got to the Blackbush Airport, there was more people joined us to go onto the plane. There were some civvies as well, women, wives, I think, with children.
And where about is Blackbush Airport?
I don't know, it's somewhere quite near London, I think. It was very frosty anyway, it was cold. And dark, of course. It all just kind of happened like it was just like a dream, nearly, more or less. We just did this and we did that and we did that, and suddenly we were in an aeroplane. And I remember when we landed in Cyprus, the Marine Band was there on their white tunics and their helmets, and marching about the plane. I'm sure it wasn't for us who were practicing, but it was like from being in a frosty, cold place in Blackpool, it was hot and warm when we got to Cyprus.
Okay. Was it winter in Britain when you left?
Well, it may have been late in the year, sort of autumn.
And this was 1952, was it?
1952.
Okay. And the other men who joined you at the airport, were they Gordon Highlanders?
No, there was all sorts. I can't tell you who they were. We weren't civilian clothes, we weren't allowed to fly in civvies. We weren't allowed to fly across India in uniforms. And you wouldn't know who or what. But there was Gordons. People around me were Gordons.
And did you have civilian clothes with you as well?
Cause I no, we were with a shirt and a suit. And we wore that all the time. Same shirt, same suit. All the way to St. Paul.
And where about were you issued with that?
Must have been in Blackpush.
And did it fit you okay?
Well, just as well as my uniform. The guys in the stores must have been quite good at sizing somebody up. That'll fit you.
Do you remember what it looked like or anything?
No. It's a white shirt, I remember that. And I remember the cuffs were very black and my collar was very black for the time I got to Singapore.
And was everybody issued with the same style of suit?
No, it was all different. And we stayed in hotels and we got to Karachi and Calcutta. And we were a very short time of there. I just remember seeing the Taj Mahal from the plane. But we never really got out. We just landed there to refuel, I think.
Okay. And when you were at Blackbush as well, did you have any equipment with you? You know,
kit. Well, we had kit. We had stuff that was like woolens and stuff. And for, I think we were supposed to be going to Korea. And then for somebody changed their mind, of course, we had to hand that in, and then we got changed. We got nuke stuff. And but we didn't wear it. We wore this civilian stuff.
And when you said you had to hand it in, did you have, like, your kilt with you? You know, did you have, like, your Gordon Highlanders kilt or anything with you?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
And the new uniform that you got, which you didn't wear, was that just normal army?
It's all green stuff, you know, like green shirts, green
terror. Remember we sort of put them on when we got to Singapore.